Blog Talk Radio.
To you, welcome to Elevated Places Network. It is such a pleasure for all of us to be together once again. This is your sister, Ava Muhammad. My co-host, of course, is the one and only Brother Terrence Muhammad. We have our executive producer with us, Sister Rona Muhammad, our attorney and contributor, Sister I did say Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. I'm getting overly excited. Tonight we're also going to have another member of our team on during the program because she was instrumental in bringing to us an incredible program on our monthly Tuesday night special edition of Elevated Places, Project Separation, Building Our Promised Land. And we have had some phenomenal experiences with Black people who have moved out on what Allah God instructed us to do, and that is to separate from his enemy and to retake our land. And of course, this brother and sister, if you don't know them now, you will know them after this evening. But since this is Blog Talk Radio and we are audio only, I implore you to go. It's on the same channel. If you go and or you can either go to MinisterAva.com as well, but Sister Donna, I'm sure, will go over all of the ways you can see Tuesday night's programs. But we had more of a visual encounter, and we did have some shots from Your Faith Farms outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Principal Farmers, Brother Patrick and Sister Ishtar Muhammad. And they are with us this evening to do a recap of an absolutely fabulous presentation. And Brother Patrick really dropped some incredible knowledge and wisdom that anyone who is thinking about acquiring some land and beginning to move out on going into the new reality, the hereafter, saving ourselves. Remember, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, separation or death. those are our two options. But let me get going with my fabulous co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. I'm going to turn the mic over to him to take us further into tonight's program. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaykum salam. Once again, we're back on a Thursday evening, and I am so honored blessed once again to be here. And, you know, we always are excited, especially after us that are registered members have our special meeting and get some extra juice in us, and we rev up to get ready to go to do this wonderful and just amazing work of going after our people and delivering them this powerful message, this powerful word, and a word that we got last year, July 4th, 2020, from the Honorable Minitarian, a word that was needed before what we are witnessing right now take just precedent in the news. We thought that what the minister said in July 4th, we, you know, those that were wide awake, as it's those that awoke, understood and prepared and nursed on the minister's words and then stopped listening and going back and studying it, because we're seeing, Dr. Ava, we saw the life, the loss of lives from COVID, and then we saw the emergence quickly because they just announced it in 2020, then they announced the virus, yeah. I mean, the vaccine in 2020. It was like we just shut down in March and you just now giving a vaccine. I was like, that's a quick turnaround. You know, it's almost as though we remember, and it just came to my mind, Dr. Ava, 9/11. After everything blew up, they had a dossier on the people that blew up the planes or blew up the towers, per se. I'm like, dang, y'all got that real quick. How y'all get that quick? And those other people supposed on the plane in the building, y'all ain't check everybody else out, but y'all knew these were the ones, and y'all got their files, and y'all got their dossier. So you mean to tell me that y'all were recording them and following them, and y'all didn't follow them into knowing that this is what they're going to be doing? Or you just saying that you had already have the information to put out there so folks can believe, just like this vaccination as we're seeing and as we're watching. That's why we got to go back to listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's powerful and monumental address, The Criterion. If you don't know where to go, go to NOI.org. And also, you want to make sure that you get your copy of the Final Call newspaper. Go to finalcall.com if you prefer. But I would suggest that you subscribe to finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com, and get your digital copy for your phone, your tablet or your computer, whatever you want to watch it on, and make sure that you're up on the news from what's going on around the world and the latest around COVID-19, because the Final Call newspaper has a special section that you're not going to get anywhere else, because everything else is being blurped out, as we saw our brother RZA Islam on the Alex Jones show just recently. And, you know, I give a shout-out to Alex Jones because he had the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on there, and he gave credit to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So, you know, I give you a dap. I give you a high five, you know, because when you are in line and you can look beyond what everybody else thinks is there and hear truth, which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been given for over six decades, then you got something. You got a good ear. But we saying that to say that our brother RZA, as Alex Jones has been taken off the airwaves, we still have a newspaper that is giving you. Also, you can go to MinisterAva.com, MinisterAva.com, because you need that truth so that you can make sure that you get all of the good words and the guidance that she has on that site. And later we'll be talking about the Master's Class Part 2 coming up. I think that's next Tuesday. The Master's Class Part 2. You don't want to miss it. I know
Monday.
Last week I had gotten it. Yeah, oh, Monday, see? That's why I was just hearing it say, Dr. Ava, I messed up last week, and I thought it again. Monday.
Right.
And we're going to get those information to you. So before I get ready to go, NOI.org, want to make sure we at study group tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. on come back on Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, and on Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., NOI Ava.org. But I did want to say, Dr. Ava, a couple of things real quick as we get this wrapped up. There was an article before I got on that a good friend of mine, very good friend of mine, sent me some good information, and it's talked about health news. You know, it's one of those news alerts that you get on your phone. And it said ivermectin,
yes.
And we have been talking about ivermectin,
but it was
an ivermectin warning.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you may stop. I can stop.
No, go ahead.
But, no, it was funny. It said that, you know, we've been talking about something that you can use, and it's amazing how Nelly putting out a counterattack. The FDA and local doctors are warning people to not take a drug used to treat parasitic worms in humans and large animals as a treatment for COVID-19. It's a recent myth that has attached a lot of attention. In today's health news, doctors and local tractor supply dealers say the drug is flying off the shelf. So let me just say this. There used to be a saying in a commercial, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody stops and listens. So when you have the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan speaking and his national spokesperson speaking, we didn't say it, but that is going off the shelf. Because we are listening to the truth, and we're going after that which we know a credible source says that works. And when I saw that, Dr. Ava, I also got an email today from a good friend of mine in the health department, and she sent me this, and somebody I worked with, and she had sent a blind copy email because she was sending it to everybody. But I saw this church. It was a picture, a flyer, folks from the church, and they, all this black family, all hugged up, all smiling and happy. And in this flyer, it says free COVID vaccination. It was just like so happy. And then it says come get melons. It didn't say watermelons. It said melons, because they know they were just being straight out racist. But it was a black church that's saying, here, come get free vaccination and come get your melons. It's like, wow, I'm surprised they didn't say, come get your chicken and melon. But you can get a free watermelon and free vaccination. I done heard that. I know we had the donut. We had the lottery. It's ridiculous. And on the last note, Dr. Ava, I just want to say I think this is a moment of gratitude to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because if you don't remember 10-10-15, and when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was saying he needed 10,000 fearless, and he didn't say just 10,000 fearless as the media want to make it seem like we want 10,000 fearless to kill white people. No, he said he wants 10,000 fearless to go between our people and the guns and stop the killing. So I think I made a shout-out, but shout-out again to Father Flager for taking guns off the Chicago street. But something happened to me, Dr. Ava, this past week, maybe Tuesday. I got a call, and a brother asked me, or he sent me a message that, you know this brother? I said, yeah, I know him. He said, call me ASAP. So I called him, and I find out, Cation, where a gun was drawn, had taken place. And next thing you know, I'm in the thrust in this situation where now I'm making phone calls between the two parties. And by the grace, and only by the grace of Allah, that situation got curtailed.
Yes, sir.
Two people's lives are still there. But the thing is, are we fearless enough to go in between? Because it may have had me to be, and as I've done before, a face-to-face where people have guns on them, to calm something down from people killing us. And we have to go do this work. We got to at least, as my brother, Student Minister Willie in New Orleans said, we got to at least try. Not all conflict resolution and all things we do always work, but we cannot let the blood be on our hand and say that we did not try to give them the word, give them the message, or stand in the stead as a peacekeeper in the midst of our people. And I just thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for taking the charge, as we can see some old DVDs or videos of the minister in New York City out in the streets with our people. And as we saw in New York and in Chicago in the recent years, we have to go amongst our people to produce peace. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
Well, all praise is due to Allah. And you know what? I thought you were going to give some different news about ivermectin, but all praise is due to Allah. See, there's an explosion. I have another
That's right.
article for you all. One of the council members sent this to me earlier, and it goes back to what you just said. See, when Farrakhan speaks, whether it's directly or through his national spokesperson or the final call or any one of his representatives, they listen. Well, listen to this headline. Finnish firm, that's Finland, Finnish firm earns U.S. patent for COVID drug containing ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Now, remember, hydroxychloroquine is part of the protocol that Cuba has been using to treat COVID-19, and they're the most successful country on the earth. That's why they're under such assault right now. Ivermectin, which we, the Nation of Islam, concluded is the way to go. It is proven. And several weeks ago, I'm going to pull the date of the issue where we did a major story on ivermectin. We have doctors in the Nation of Islam that have been administering this to their patients. We have, there are black doctors who are health conscious who have been doing that. And then, of course, there's a coalition of frontline doctors led by the pulmonologist, Dr. Corey, who have been begging the FDA to repurpose ivermectin. Remember, it's already approved by the FDA.
Right.
The vaccines
That's
don't
right.
have FDA approval. They're about to get it, but they don't have it. But in any event, this is what the article says. The Turku company that's in Finland says its nasal spray delivers low, safe doses of hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and aprotinin. I have to look that up. A coronavirus drug developed by Therapeutico Borealis, a pharmaceutical firm in Turku, in Finland, has been granted a patent, hold on, wait for it, by the United States Patent and Trademark Office. The nasal spray contains hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, among other ingredients. The company said it received approval for the patent application, based upon which it expected its final patent this month. Quote from one of the professors who's the inventor and founder of this company said, our next goal is to find an established pharmaceutical industry company with an international business scale.
Wow.
He is a cell biologist and former rector of the University of Turku. The co-inventors of the drug and co-founders of Therapeutica Borealis are Lori Tangas, an adjunct professor of science, and Matti Rico, a psychologist and board chair of Turku Chamber of Commerce. The nasal spray acts on cell function in the nasal mucus in three ways, impairing the ability of the virus to penetrate the body and multiply, thus reducing the risk of serious illness. Another Finnish pharmaceutical company, Rokote Labs, has been developing a coronavirus vaccine in nasal form, but has struggled to gain financing. And, of course, previously it goes into how the World Health Organization was refusing to recommend ivermectin as a response to the COVID-19 virus saying, quote, there is no scientific basis for a therapeutic effect and no meaningful evidence for clinical activity. Well, other than the fact that the country of Mexico reduced almost to the point of eradicating COVID-19 using ivermectin. Okay.
Come on.
Other than
Come
the
on.
Fact this drug is on WHO's list of essential medicines in the world. It has won a Nobel Prize. But here's the U.S. Patent Office giving a European country a patent for a product that consists of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which Donald Trump was laughed out of town when he suggested hydroxychloroquine way back early in 2020. And so, as Allah said, if it's under a rock, I will bring it forth. So everything's coming to a head. By the way, quickly in the NFL, the quarterback, Kirk Cousins, of the Minnesota Vikings, is refusing to get the COVID-19 vaccine, and he's catching all kinds of flack on Twitter and et cetera. And he said, I'll sit behind the plexiglass, I'll do whatever, but I am not taking the COVID-19 vaccine. And there are
That's
several
right.
other players that are doing the same. But we're supposedly, Brother Terrence, down to only 90 million people in this country who have not been vaccinated, if you believe the media. So
right.
why have they become more irrational rather than less? And whatever happened to herd immunity? What happened to that? We have to think about
that. That's right.
But anyway, let's get into this phenomenal program tonight. And I want to bring on our legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. Let me locate her. Here she is. And Sister Pamela, well, I'll let her tell you about the guest she had on a week ago, and I'm sure it was something about this week, but also, Sister Attorney Pamela, I told the listeners that something very special, special experience that you had in the wake of your program with the public relations expert who has Bill Cosby as a client. So I'm going to turn the mic over to you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wow, alaykum salam, Sister Dr. Ava. And as-salamu alaykum to you, Brother Terrence. How you doing, sir?
Well, alaykum salam. I am great by the grace of Allah, and I got it. Yeah, I'm great.
Yes, sir. Praises be to Allah. So, as you said, Sister Ava, when we did the July 27th program on A Time for Justice, which is on the Elevated Places Network, we actually, as you said, we had Mr. Andrew Wyatt, who was the public relations and crisis manager for actor and comedian Bill Cosby. And, you know, he kind of talked about the due process violations and just the opinion of the Commonwealth, the victory for Mr. Cosby with the court, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. So, Sister Ava, much to my surprise, that Wednesday I got a call from Mr. Wyatt, and Mr. Bill Cosby was on the phone, and we got a chance to talk to him, and it was just a very wonderful experience to talk to Mr. Cosby. And it's so funny because I have been watching Fat Albert on YouTube as a platform, you know, because it being on that. So lo and behold, I get this call from Mr. Cosby. And it was really interesting because in that conversation, we saw the generational impact, whereas Fat Albert was a positive mm-hmm. image in my generation, where values were given, where love for the black community, you know, through Mr. Cosby's characters, we talked about that. But then we talked about my daughter, who's 16, and she was like, yes, you know, well, I've seen all the different worlds. I have the season 1, 2, and 3, you know, and she was talking about how she had been inspired. So it was very important. He, you know, he let us know that those platforms were for future generations. That he said those were the for future generations, and it was so important because my daughter has been positively influenced, just like I was positively influenced by Fat yeah. Albert as a child. And he also talked about the importance of managing your own platforms. And so, you know, just like being conscious and positive about what you want in your show, you know, and so we look at the value and we look at the superb program. And from my conversation with him, I got the understanding that it was all intentional. All that black excellence was intentional. So, yes, ma'am, I got a chance to talk to the actor and comedian Bill Cosby, and it really came from the fact that, you know, his spokesperson had been on the show speaking about him, and he gave us the call, you know, to let us know that he was aware. And so I just awesome experience.
So, yes, Sister Pamela, let me just stop you right here, because I don't really think everybody understand what you just said, because you just kind of talking as though you didn't just drop a whole bomb on Sister Ava's show. I don't know if the callers listening that y'all are getting exclusive, because y'all don't understand. Have y'all heard and have y'all seen Bill Cosby a lot anywhere? Have y'all seen him talking anywhere? But y'all just got an exclusive from Elevated Places Network. Sister Pamela just calmly said that she just talked to Bill Cosby. I ain't talked to Bill Cosby. A lot of people ain't talked to Bill Cosby. Only way we know about Bill Cosby is that I was a different world and Cosby's show. And Sister Pamela just calmly said, oh, yeah, Bill Cosby was on the other line. I was talking to him today. Hold on, I ain't just going to let you just kind of breeze over that like you didn't just drop a bomb on Sister Ava's show. That's why y'all need to stop playing and tune in and listen to the show, because you don't know who may be on the phone listening or on this show. Because Sister Pam just calmly said, yeah, that was for the next generation. And, yeah, Bill Cosby, we were talking on the phone, and we were just casually having a good time. I just had to stop you on that, because you just did that so calmly. I just had to. Whew, all right.
Well, thank you, Brother Terrence, for that, because it really was an exciting experience and an humbling experience. Yes, yes, sir. So that is that. So also, Brother Terrence, I wanted to say to you, you talked about the peace and having faith over fear. And so this past show that we did on August the 3rd, we had a show on crimes of violence and the need for conflict resolution. And that was about going internal. That was about building our own platforms, because we talked about how the criminal justice system falsely depicts black people as being inherently violent. I couldn't believe it, but there's an author, a white author by the name of David Allen Ginsky, Pattern of Violence. And in that book, he says that there's some thought that we have genetic violent characteristics, and this is what you see in the criminal justice system. So when you look at whites in the criminal justice system, see, they're looked at as people who are a product of their circumstances. And so when you see these cops out here killing people or being violent toward them, see, it characterizes they're resisting. They're not being violent. They're resisting, or they're using force. And I think no better place did you see it with this latest Missouri couple who pulled out these weapons, these AR-15s on the protesters. I don't know if we remember that story last year, but those two people who were, you know, pointing a weapon, assaulting a group of people who weren't doing anything to them, the governor of Missouri, he pardoned them. And so not only they pled to some little misdemeanor case, but then they get pardoned. And their whole positioning, once again, see, we got this attack on black people. Their excuse was that, well, see, there was a mob, you know, this mischaracterization, this slander, and this lie. So we talked about it. We had Dr. Abdul Halim Muhammad. We had Sister Barbara, another attorney who works with Brother Abdul Sharif down in Atlanta with the 10,000 Fearless. And we had a brother attorney, Athil Muhammad. And we just kind of explored some of these notions, because in closing, I just want to say our point was, like you mentioned, we do have to make our own communities decent and safe places to live, and we have to not fear our people, because the law makes us falsely, you know, sometimes fear and put these labels on our people when you're making them out to be these old, just horrible people, and that's what the law does. You know, so that was our conversation this past Tuesday, August the 3rd, so that's what I wanted to share. If you get a chance, please listen to the archives. And Sister Ava, thank you once again with the Elevated Places Network for allowing us that platform for the show. Assalamu alaikum.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Beautiful report. And I'm glad you did that, Brother Terrence. We may have to mention this a few more times over the next few weeks. I think it was just something that just went like right over everybody.
Okay.
I'm like, come on.
Who have you seen Bill Cosby talking to? He's only done, I think, one interview since his exoneration and release. And so to take the time to make the call, he advertised the program on his Instagram page. This is the time for the coming together of our people. Ooh. And that's why tonight's program is just, the timing couldn't be better. And I'm going to shortly turn the mic over to Sister Donna Muhammad to bring in our special guest. But I want to share something with you from the current Final Call newspaper. Fabulous article written in our COVID section by Brother Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Because if you're following the COVID section, and I happen to be the section editor, don't ask me how that happened, but I'm learning so much. And we are now pivoting from, we started out, we brought forth every possible piece of evidence and made an overwhelming, irrefutable case against the COVID vaccine. Then we began running the actual deaths and injuries from the COVID vaccines. We published that every week, and those are government statistics, and the government admits they're from 1 to 10% of the total number that's actually occurring. So this past week we had 11,940 deaths acknowledged as a result of the COVID-19 vaccine, and 400,000 adverse events, including everything from hospitalization to urgent care to miscarriages, severe allergic reactions, et cetera. 12,000 people disabled. 88,000 had to go to the doctor. Not for the virus, for the vaccine. So then we followed that with putting forth the solutions to the COVID problem. As you recall, Minister Farrakhan said you have to go to heaven for the solution. And there were two things. One is repent your sin. And then the other is in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I don't know about you. I've never seen any book where the author put on the cover from God in person. How to Eat to Live, Part 1 and 2. And we did extensive coverage of the importance of following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's dietary regimen, which is divinely revealed. It's from the mind of God. That's heaven. All right? Everything from fasting and one meal a day. And, of course, I wrote an article on the preconditions. 40% of COVID deaths are in diabetic patients. The dietary regimen of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad will severely reduce and even eradicate diabetes. It's not the virus alone. It is this virus is not a lone assassin. It has to have a team of other killers to assist it in order to take someone down. The CDC itself acknowledged that 96% of the COVID deaths were in people with not one, not two, but three preconditions. In other words, one foot in the grave already. So this pestilence has exposed the life or absence of life. We're just existing under Satan's rule. And so this is why it's so important. And now we've pivoted from sharing the sources, ivermectin as the medication to get, and how to eat to live, and things like vitamin D3 supplements, unless you live where the couple I'm going to be, we're going to have on shortly, if you don't live in the environment they live in, you need supplements until you can get to it. But just quickly, from Brother Ridgey's article, this is part two of an article entitled, We Must Do It For Ourselves. And he points out, it's so beautiful, there's a sister, Dr. Velva Bowles, who's interviewed with us the last three issues. She's an immunologist and a physician. And her mind is that independence for us as black people. But I just want you to hear these numbers quickly. In 1923, we had 200 black hospitals in America. 1923. By 1944, it had dropped to 124. And in 2021, we have two black hospitals in the entire country. We once had seven medical schools. We had seven medical schools in 1910. That's 45 years after the end of chattel slavery. And we had seven medical schools. What killed us on top of a systematic design to shut us down, and you'll read the history of it in the paper, but the thing that killed us was integration. And this effort led by the National Medical Association, that's black doctors, and the NAACP, who insisted that we not have our own hospitals, but that we integrate with white people. And now you see where we are today. So we have to go for self and have a land of our own. And we're about to get into that. You're going to love this evening. So Sister Donna Muhammad, did I open up your mic? I did not. My apologies.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
I pray that everybody is doing well.
Oh, yes ma'am. Yeah, we're excited. We're fired up. Yes, ma'am.
Praise be to Allah.
I'm hearing a Oh, it's a buzz from Tuesday night, a buzz. I've been getting text messages and emails and all kinds of things from Tuesday. So I'm going to have you, isn't that the truth? Tell the people about it. And then our guests were kind enough to come back on tonight and do a recap and go a little further into what they're doing so that our Blog Talk listeners can also get exposed to this enlightenment. So it's yours, Sister Donna.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm so excited, again, to hear from them because one night wasn't enough. But on this past Tuesday, we held the third segment of Project Separation, Building Our Promised Land. And, of course, we made the emphasis on promise, because this is absolutely something that we are promised. We're not taking a gamble. We're not taking a chance. We're not taking a risk. We're just claiming that which was given to us. And our guests this evening, Brother Patrick and Sister Ishtar Muhammad of Your Faith Farms, showed us in a very clear and succinct way how stepping out on faith garners that which Allah has promised us in the way of our separation and independence. And so on Tuesday night, they shared very practical information with us, how to get started, and really what it looks like to have land as the basis for freedom, and to show that it is very doable for each and every one of us, which is the goal of the series anyway, to show that this is not only can it be done, it's being done. So we've moved from the separation town hall meetings to showing forth separation in real life. And when Brother Patrick shares his story, which I hope he will have an opportunity to share with the listeners again this evening, of how it was even set up for him to be where he is now, which was a minute and 20 seconds from where he used to live in a subdivision. He now sits on 30 acres on his own road, in which there's only one other person there that also has 117 acres farm. So tonight, hopefully we will get to hear a little bit more about Your Faith Farm and even the very topic of stepping out on faith. And I encourage everybody who did not get a chance to listen, and even if you did listen to it, you need to go back because there were so many pearls of wisdom that he gave us that it really was the start of a course study. So you can catch the video on www.ministerava.com. You can also go to the Project Separation YouTube channel as well as the Project Separation website, and you can get information, more information also on Your Faith Farms. But we're really looking forward to hearing even more tonight, just some words from Brother Patrick Muhammad and Sister Ishtar Muhammad of Your Faith Farm.
Yes, thank ma'am. You. All praise is due to Allah. So if you're ready, we're going to – I've got their mic open for you to bring them on.
There we go. Well,
all right.
Sister Dr.
Brother
Ava,
Patrick,
I do
Sister Ishtar?
Yeah. I do have my better half with us today, Sister Ishtar. She wants to give the greetings and get us started.
Oh, Allah.
Ishtar Muhammad.
Wow, Lakum Salam. We are so happy to hear your voice, and Your wonderful husband did an incredible job, but now we know, now it's complete. So we look forward to hearing from you tonight as well. Yes,
all praise to the Please pardon me the other night. I had dental surgery, so I was in pain, but I was on the sidelines cheering for Brother Patrick. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Look, it's Brother Patrick. I'm right
all
here.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Well, again, it's indeed a great honor to have the opportunity to be with you all again. And we thank you all for giving us this platform just to bear witness to the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and as a confirmation in this day and time that we are all following the baddest, boldest black man on the planet, and that's our dear minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so one of the things that kind of gives a picture of our life, I believe back in New York, Dr. Ava, that they were going around talking about, has Farrakhan changed directions, right? And so the mantra that we use in my home is, can Farrakhan change your direction? And he absolutely changed the direction of our lives and pointed us in the way that Allah desires for us to go. And so that direction change has truly been a blessing. And so we're honored to, you know, just be witness bearers. And our daily prayer is, O Allah, bless our form to be a blessing to our family, our nation, our community, and our children. And that's our sincere desire. So we look forward to sharing whatever we can with the listening audience this afternoon so that they too can be inspired to step out on faith and do something of good today.
And Dr. Ava.
I think it might. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Brother Chance.
Oh, no. I just wanted to do like I did for the Pamela, you know, as we just kind of talking about, you know, the callers may not know. We're talking about Brother Patrick as though he's just this good farming boy with some land down there in Georgia. But I have to testify the goodness of this brother being a part of the student ministry. And because, you know, y'all may just heard about the farming, but I know about his ministry and his powerful and ability to represent the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And not only that, when we talk about land and separation, he was doing that as an author. So not only was he writing books, then he said, hold on, I'm going to start publishing books. And matter of fact, do you need me to help you publish books? So I'm just saying that seed has been growing. So now he's just expanding. So I just don't want to jump to him as the farmer, as Sister Pam just kind of passed over. I just talked to Bill Cosby, that's all. That this brother has been working tirelessly to build that. And I'm just saying that, Dr. Ava, because what we're seeing now in the believers, we're seeing our seed sprouting beautiful. And you're just blessed to have a platform to show the rise of a lot of our believers and their work on this show. Just as we had the teacher from New Jersey, with Brother Tyreek, all of this stuff, we just seeing a great manifestation. And the believers should keep on pushing and working. So what the story that Brother Patrick is going to share, that other believers can see, you can do it too.
Thank you, Brother Chance. You're always an inspiration, and you know we truly have love for you. And you reminded me something, Brother Terrence. There was a lecture that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did after one of the world tours. And that it was just a line inside of that lecture that bothered me for years. And the minister talked about how as he traveled the world, he would go country to country, and they would say, Farrakhan, Farrakhan, send one just like you, send one just like you. And the minister talked about the pain, and I'm not quoting him perfectly, about not knowing for sure that if he did send those or some, would they emulate his ways? And from that, you know, my family desired to become helpers and bearers of witness so that if the minister ever had to look inside the ranks, that he would have those that he could have trust, faith, and confidence in, that he could send them anywhere, and we would not misrepresent the minister and the nation, but we begin to represent the minister and the nation to the masses of our people. And so that's been our desire as believers, and it just has transferred over to our practice and work on your faith farm.
All right. And I think she's still. Okay, there you go.
Yes, sir. So,
and so
do
you,
perhaps
Dr. Avery, just guide me if you want us to just talk about so far. I just guide him so we can go from there.
Oh, yeah. Well, really, going to Brother Terrence's point about making sure people get a factual narrative of how this happened, because I think how this happened is as important as what happened when you and Sister Ishtar made that move, what you were doing prior to that, because as you said, you didn't set out to do this specifically, and especially about the location of point A and point B, if you remember from Tuesday night, which was so mind-blowing.
Absolutely. We are a product of Time of What Must Be Done, number 36, forming as the engine to our national life. And there's a line in there when the minister says, by land, they can't make any more. And that line just stuck with us. And having three children at the time, well, still at the time, still now, you know, we wanted to do something that we could, you know, ultimately leave for our children. And as we began to study, you know, land is absolutely that which you can and should pass down from generation to generation. And one thing I didn't share on Tuesday night, and it just speaks to our character, we didn't initially go out to acquire land for my family. Initially, we found 100 acres for the Mighty FOI of Atlanta, Georgia. And so my wife and I literally were driving around Georgia looking for land for the FOI to purchase. And because it said pool our resources, you know, with us like mine. So that was our initial goal. And as things have it just became a lot to, you know, convince, you know, motivate that we should do it now, you know, because I believe in a minister. We believe in, you know, microwave Minister Farrakhan instructions, right? We don't use microwaves, but when the minister says do it, it should take 10 seconds and it's done. We don't need to be thinking about this and baking it for 10 years, right? And so as we moved out, it was just too fast for some. And so it went from an idea for the collective, then it went to idea for a small group. And there was a small group of FOI that purchased some cows with Wayne Swanton, as we talked about. And as that work continued, my wife and I began to say, like, hey, if those cows don't make it at Wayne's, we can't bring them to the subdivision. And so as it goes, we literally, Dr. Ava, for about 6 to 7 months would get off work and have a list of forms in our car and drive. I'm talking crisscross Georgia looking for forms. Like, and I'm talking, Brother Taryn, the North Carolina kind of streets where it's dark.
Come
and
on, man.
It's
come
10
on,
miles
man.
Before the next street lighter. It's time to be looking at me like, we got gas. We didn't get no gas. Like, we're running out of gas on these dark roads trying to find farmland, you know. And, I mean, we put miles on our vehicles trying. We have no real estate agent. We didn't know how to do it. And so I can actually tell you all the date. It was April the 4th, 2014, and I was extremely frustrated. And I looked, because we had looked at forms and found forms, and Ishtar had found all brick forms. And oh, she wanted to tell you about this.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to add that before we get to the purchase of our farm that we're in now, it did take us many days, and I had to actually visualize living on a farm. And the more we would drive around and the more we would see land and the beautiful grass and the animals, I was fine with the land. But the animals were something that was new and it was different. But the more we would drive around and we were concentrating on the minister's word, something about that, Allah was aligning our minds and my thoughts, because we had a three-level home, very comfortable. right? Maybe 5 or 6 bedrooms. I mean, I had my own storeroom. I had the space that I needed. But the thing we didn't have was the land. So we did come across one that looked just like the palace. I mean, it was so beautiful. I imagined my daughter playing her violin on my balcony. It was the most beautiful home. If I could pick it up and move it over here, that would be the house that we would be in. But the thing we had to take into consideration was the safety and the location. So sometimes I think we rush into things. We don't really consider everything. You know, there was a lake in front of the house, and then our neighbors. It was still too close. So it was just so many factors that we had to, right, well, we had to share the lake. And then the family on each side was at odds with each other. And then there were Caucasians. That was mad because one brother built his home bigger than the other family. So we knew that we could not be part of that because I could only imagine when Patrick went to FOI class, what would that look like if I'm at home with the children? They're arguing now and their concern is the lake. And I'm not one of the sisters that would feel comfortable being around, you know, other people in water. So, I mean, we just had to really make sacrifices and think about the reality of being in that place. And then the more we prayed to Allah and we would ask him, is this something that he wanted us to have at this time? Because the homes, I mean, the houses that we seen, the different farms was beautiful. And then we talked about the different animals. And then, you know, it was just, it took time. It was nothing that we rushed into. But then I came to the conclusion that Patrick has always provided for us. Of course, Allah did, but I thank Allah that all of the houses that we've been in have always been of my choosing. So when Patrick chose this farm and his reason for choosing this farm and the love that he has for his mother and the fact that, you know, there was an apartment behind the house, you know, these things really made me grow more in love with Patrick. The way they cared for the animals, the way he was still trying to help other believers get farms at the same time we were trying to purchase a farm. So I was just thinking to myself that he has to be a man of God to be able to, you know, give someone else land that you're looking for or land that you're looking at. He was helping others even though we didn't have it. So I'm looking on the outside, looking at him, thanking Allah for this brother and the purity of his heart. You know, he's not a jealous person. If someone purchased the land that we were looking at, he wasn't upset. He was helping them move and giving them ideas on how to make that land more productive. So on the other side, I was telling my children, watch your father. I need you to study him. Look and see what he's doing. Even though you might create your own judgment, look at how he handled business. So as a mother and as a wife, it was my job to make sure that the children were studying him, even though he didn't know that he'd been studied. And I was studying him as well to understand that Allah is rolling us into a different direction. It was nothing scary. We just had to submit. But I'm going to catch that too.
I was about to say, that's my first time hearing when you say that. And so I would take it from there. So April, we get up to April 4th.
We did give up.
We gave up, and it's just not going to happen. And it was April 4th, 2014, and I think I just typed it in, like farmland, you know, close to us. And when the form popped up, I called the lady, and she was like, sir, I just put the sign in the yard. I am not showing it today. And I was like, you just put it in the yard? She's like, yes. I said, okay. So we just, you know, waited for her to leave. We put in our GPS. The road sounds familiar. And let me tell you how familiar the road is. Our children actually went to school on the end of the road because we lived around the corner. And we used to call just the dark, you know, just rocky road. And we just slide through this road like, don't look left, don't look right, just drive fast. Right, because it was dark. It was an agriculture road. And it was a cut through, like from our subdivisions to traffic. We would cut through this road. You know how Allah puts blinders on? I have never seen the form like cutting down the road.
And I think that we even created some of our stories, writing with your sister. We, in our mind, we created maybe that some people possibly died on this road.
Right.
Stories, because this was like a horror type thing.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't look no other way. We just went straight.
And so we put the, you know, she told us whatever. So we came by, and we didn't pull in the yard. And those of you that know Sister Ishtar, we got up to the gate, and she saw those little white children running the yard. She was like, oh, no. Because, you know, that's just Ish. She was like, there's no way we're going to live there.
No, it wasn't the children. It was that maybe the way they were killed. It wasn't because of who they were. But I just want to add that before we got to this point, we was praying for different land, and we was getting frustrated because everywhere we was driving, the property belonged to, you know, Caucasian families. And I just said, you know what, they are so blessed because they have everything. Everything is given to them. And I was thinking to myself, you know, when will Allah bless us? When is it going to be our turn? Not in an arrogant way, but just thinking to Allah. And I think we even talked about if we just purchase the land, then we can put a house or live in a shed or something. I don't even know what I was thinking, but we was praying that, and we were just so, we had that eager. And I guess by the time Patrick had, he was feeling that way, but by the time I started supporting him, and I was thinking about let's just get the land, even if we put a shed or something on it, we just have to have it. We got to give our children something. We got to pass them down something. Because I can't leave them my teaching position, even though, you know, I've been there for years and Patrick's the principal. We can't leave that to our children. So we became frustrated a little bit, not at God, but the fact that we couldn't find the land that we wanted and the location. So to me, the location was key because I didn't want to put my family somewhere that would bring danger. And any place can bring that, but I wanted to be amongst, you know, an area that I was already comfortable. So we got to the point to where we was done. When we walked in our house, I didn't want to look anymore. As I said, we just need to wait. I'm comfortable where I'm at. We're done. By that time, that's when Patrick looked online. And when we came over to Jones Road, which was less than a block, right? When we came here and Patrick showed me the property, I don't think we ever seen this house. I was just woods and the little children. I said, oh my God, they're running around looking raggedy. Please forgive me. But those were my thoughts. And I just said, we can't live like that. But as we drove in and we seen how beautiful the property was in the back and everything that you cannot see from the street, it was a two-bedroom apartment. There's three barns that's already here. And the driveway was long, and all I wanted was a beautiful front yard. So Allah was giving us everything, but we had to submit. We had to get to that point to where we was going to give up in order for us to see that what Allah wanted us to have was already right here waiting for us.
Praise to Allah. And just some other confirmations, it being that close. Brother Terrence, you'll enjoy this one. So my wife goes into the main house with the realtor to look at the house. I never come in the house. I saw the apartment house that I knew that was my mom's future retirement home. And so I stood outside and just kind of talked to the guy. He was texting the owner and, you know, conferring with him about, like, this is the family. But Brother Terrence, when I do finally go into the apartment, I'm walking around the apartment. Now, this is all Caucasian, but they had a 24 case of Brother Sharice water, right?
You already know where we come on now.
I'm like, is this Brother Sharice water inside this apartment with this Caucasian dude?
That's exactly right. You are telling the truth. We were given so many signs when, you know, I was kind of standoffish because I was thinking, let's disinfect. We got to clean everything. I didn't even want to see the guy. I don't even think he was there.
He wasn't
there. But when the realtor took us in and we seen, what was the name of the water? Everlasting. We seen the water and I said, oh my God, either another believer's looking at this house or.
And left a hole to the foot back.
Right. So there were so many things that was leading up and our realtor said, Miss Muhammad, are you sure? You looked at all these other big homes. And you want this? And she just kept saying, are you sure? And I said, this area, this house has potential. This is what my husband wants. And I'm going to support him because all of, you know, ever since we've been married, he's been buying me, you know, Christmas what I want and satisfying those needs. So I just said, not trying to be selfish, but thinking about his reason for wanting this property, the fact that it has a, an apartment or a mother-in-law suite to accommodate his mother when she come down so that she can feel welcome. She would have her own space. You know, it was just amazing. So this was, that was the least I could do. So when I explained that to our realtor, she just said, y'all going to be all right. This is nice. I'm happy that you got what you wanted because, you know, it took me a minute to be bought into the other properties.
Yeah. And then, so, and then this was all in the same day, right? And so once Ishtar was like, okay, we want it. So I tell the realtor, and I'm trying to, you know, being macho or whatever, we know the asking price. So I lowball the asking price while we're standing in the driveway. And I didn't know, of course, about the guy texting the owner. And so she says, Mr. Muhammad, this is an older Christian realtor. She says, Mr. Muhammad, do you want the property? I say, absolutely. My wife has agreed. I want this property. She said, don't lowball them. Offer them what they're asking, right? And, you know, we agreed, Dr. Ava. We sent them the offer they wanted. And in the same day, they came back and accepted our offer and then gave us $20,000 toward the closing. Never met us. This is all sight unseen.
Wow.
This is just through text messages, right? Fast forward a little bit. So we get that.
Okay.
Our house that we were in, it was 30 days before the closing that we had to be out of that house. So instead, I'm like, okay, now I got to move my family to an apartment for 30 days or whatever. Our realtor tells the owners of our situation, in the same day, they call us and say, oh, the Muhammad can move in. We ain't got to wait to closing. So they give us the keys to a 31-acre farm and two houses without a closing. And so we end up moving into the apartment behind the house before the closing. And so now I'm going to get back to Ish. And then the day we close, finally close, after all these delays, we close on July 29th, which is our daughter's birthday. So, you know, Allah just was in it all the way. And she's bearing witness that that was a special day.
And just to get to that point, I'm going to go back a little bit. Before we made the decision, I told the realtor, we definitely made prayer. And we asked Allah if this was something that could be a blessing to us. So we definitely always, we always go to Allah. We have this tree, and I'm not trying to be spooky, but there's a tree outside that we, you know, kind of in the center of our driveway that we go to because it's my favorite spot. And I feel like Allah is just giving me the sun or the moon because you can see the full moon. There's no trees. There's no other buildings that's blocking it. So we went there and we prayed to Allah. And then after that, everything just started unfolding.
And that's the same tree that when believers come and they're talking to us about their desires, their goals, by Allah's grace, we take them back to that same tree.
Now, we're not saying that we pray to the tree. It's just an area outside because we try to get the believers in tune with nature. So I just want to make that clear that we're not spooky. It's just a certain location that, you know, when you sit back and you can look at the glimpse of the, Allah's beauty, you know, and just think. I mean, I wish that I could send you a picture of the scenery, especially when the sun sets.
Before Brother Patrick go anywhere else, I thought that this was elevated places, but this really sound like Lifetime because there's some water. I don't know if onions are around me. Because it feel like I'm watching a love story versus anything about farming. I don't know when we're going to get to farming, Dr. Ava.
Come on.
But all I've heard in this last segment is a love story. I think we need to save this and send this to the minister so he can hear this love story of believers, husband and wife, that have been married for a minute now, but sounds like they just met each other. Sound like they just newlyweds and the love that they sharing between each other. And she said, I'm backing him. And not only is she backing him, he said, children, watch your daddy. Look at him. I mean, I don't know if a better love. I don't know if there's a better love story. Sister Ava, I don't know what you be doing on this elevated places. I don't know what you set up in this atmosphere, but you have people coming over here telling some stories. I thought this was a Lifetime movie. So I only watch it. But we need to put this on BET and let black folks see what a real love story looks like, because we ain't even get to the farming yet. Hallelujah.
It's a love story and faith story.
You can't get there without this, you know.
Come on.
And if you think about it, we talked before about these power couples. These are black power couples.
Come on.
That have been coming on, the brother and sister in Rwanda, brother Ghazi and sister Cheyenne, you know. Real Love, which Brother Patrick published, the early chapters I talk about marriage as the power base of the black man. It's the power base. And to hear this powerful black woman testify to her husband, and here is a black man who's And remember, she said he has always supported us, always taken care of
Come on.
Me and my children. See, I'm a wife, I'm a mother. But a woman can't be a wife and a mother if there's not a man to take care of things. And yet she's free to use her creative resources to think about safety. Because that's the role of the mother. That's the maternal instinct.
Yes.
I'm looking at who's across the street, who's around the corner, where are we going to live. You know, I mean, you all are going to have to write a book so that we don't have to wear you out telling this over and over every day. This needs to be a book. You're right. It's lifetime. It's real. It's
literally.
I'm sitting here having the same experience. But let's not break this up. We got to get to the farm itself.
The farm.
But look at the name of the farm. Your Faith Farms.
Yes, I want to say Real Love. If we look at it's about 20 years old, and we've been married 22 years, so we're right around that same time. But I tell you,
so are you telling Brother Patrick that if people go to MinisterAva.com and get that book, Real Love, they may have some real love in their life and may have a faith farm? You may not be saying that, but if they go to MinisterAva.com and get that book, Real Love, they may see how this is panning out in this situation. They may get the same. My fault. Hey. Let me shut up.
We were talking about medical prescriptions earlier. This is a life prescription. Go get the book. But I will say, Sister Ishtar, you know, she's my rock. And if you think about, I don't know if I ever told y'all, but Rhapsody Publishing, which is our publishing company that we started together, is Ishtar's name backwards. And that's just how much, you know, I love her. My children, Isla, Isaiah, and Istafa. You know, nobody's named Patrick around here.
Oh,
everybody's named
after
wife. but if you may remember, and I know Brother Terrence remember this, but Ishtar is the one that created and helped us start the Believers Only Community Forum before all the believers got on Facebook. You know,
wow.
On our site. And those marriages that we talk about and those organizations, those started from a conversation with Sister Ishtar at a dining room table, so where we had 5,000 registered Nation of Islam Muslims on a social media network every day before Facebook. Those were Ishtar.
I remember.
So, yes, I might be out in the forefront, but my rock has always been the reason that we've able to appear to be successful. But not be appearance, but by Allah's grace, we've been doing pretty good for the last 22 years. So I know y'all wasn't before me, but I have to bear witness because we wouldn't even be at this point if we have not been blessed to have a successful courtship to where we respected the rules of the courtship and we read Real Love. We read the books. We followed the process by Allah's grace. And I'll say this publicly, but it's the truth.
we followed it so good, Dr. Ava. Once she was my wife, I had to get used to, like, holding her hand in public and stuff, because I was like, girl, we ain't supposed to be touching. Like, I had to learn how to be affectionate because.
Go to the phone.
Oh.
We got to go to the phone. But I think a lot, because we were young, we wanted to please a lot. So if pleasing Allah was the path that we was going to take, then we were going to do the right thing to get the right results. So, and some of the other things that I love to do is read, like for one of my favorite books, Our Savior Has Arrived. And I read as I was reading, and I keep reading and studying, but there's a part where the messenger made Allah smile. So those are the things I go back and I underline to figure out what did he say, what did he do to make God smile. So maybe if we do the same thing to each other, you know, by just looking at the same thing and looking at it in a mathematical way, so we know that the messenger has given us, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exotic Christ has given us the program, what we want and what we believe, but we have to believe. So I'm not saying that we're all the way there, because I think that we just started, right? I look at, you know, we really just started. So we're figuring this thing out, but while we're figuring it out, we're praying. We're thinking a lot. We're praying outside. We're praying inside. We're praying in the car. We're praying with our children when we're on the tractor. I remember there was one time, and I'm jumping to the farming, when Patrick was outside and I saw him, he was trying to fix a gate or fence. Neither one of us know anything about an H post, but now I do. I feel like I can teach a class on it, because watching him, I made my son notice. Or he was out there with his father. But days when he gets tired, I say, where's your father? Oh, he's outside. Then you should be outside with him. And I go to each child, what is your dad doing? Oh, well, he's outside. Really? Do you know who's going to take over this land if something happened to him? So I try to get them to think about the future.
Oh,
being here
God.
On technology. It's all going on. And sometimes I go out there, too. There was a one time I think Patrick was working on a fence and I was on the tractor. And I told him, I said, just give me the key, show me how. Remember? Remember, he took a video and I didn't know he was recording me, because I wasn't trying to be seen. I was trying to help him get the job done, because there is no help. Everyone wants to help. Well, my son, of course. When I say there's no help, my son giving me a look. He's the help. I mean, we are the help. So when you're looking for that help to come, you know, I think a lot that the children are getting older, but I'm not afraid, you know, to take off my headpiece and put on the tam, or wrap my hair in the scarves and to go outside and pull my sleeves up and get in the dirt. Years ago, that wouldn't happen. Honest, seriously, but when you see the land and no one's going to take care of their land but us, and then to show Allah that we appreciate it, we have to go out and literally work the land. And the help is us. So once I realize that, I have so much respect for black farmers. I have so much respect for Brother Patrick and my son. And I thank Allah for giving me my children at the time that he did, because my son, my daughter, and even my younger son, they all help. They can probably have their own little book or their own show, but it's very important for me to teach them and keep reminding them of this labor that they see their father doing. I'm sorry for taking it long. But as an MGT, I know how to drive a tractor. I know how to use the zero turn. I know how to do certain things in the other day. I mean, I know, like Patrick said, I'm not in most of the videos because I don't do things to be seen, but I am his partner. When he turn around and need a tool, I will have it. And I try to make sure I pick up on the pattern. So if he need a little nut or if he need a screw or certain tools, I watch and see which one he's doing. So by the time he reaches down, I'm giving it to him. He don't even have to ask, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Right. Because I'm picking up on it. I'm picking up on what he needs, what he wants, and then I walk away and I call the children. Somebody needs to bring the daddy some water. Somebody needs to bring the daddy X, Y, and Z. Because when I get tired, I know how to come in the house, cool off, and then I'm cooking. So then I'm sending somebody else out. So it's always a balance, and I have to make sure that everything flows without, you know, catching outside getting hurt. So we all have walkie-talkies when we're outside. But these are the small things that people don't see, because this is my first time really talking about it out in open, but these are the things that we go through. and I've mentioned to a believer before, that I have so much more respect because I see how he would go to school, teach, watch over the school, suspend children, deal with COVID cases, and then you're on the phone, you're doing X, Y, and Z, he's in meetings. So my job is when he gets home, I know my role, and I don't get it twisted just because I'm a teacher, even though I have a career, and I do teach sewing classes and canning and other things. I'm not confused as to what Allah has given me and what he had taught us to do. So I'm very, I try to make sure I balance my time. And when I feel like I'm falling short, my children know how to cook. My son knows how to cook. My daughter knows how to cook. And my youngest son is learning because we all have to be able to make it. So we try to prepare them for life. Right?
Okay. Yes.
All praise due to Allah. One of the things that I will say, Dr., because, you know, the buy land movement is hot right now and, you know, it's exciting. And we're thankful that it is exciting. But one of the things we intentionally did not do was to acquire our land and flood or try to get the information to the minister that some believers bought land. Because we didn't buy the land to show the minister that we bought the land. We bought the land because there was an instruction from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we worked the land and began to get our bearings so that when he decides to see what's out there, then he has someone and someone, a family that he can see that is following instruction. So we didn't do it to be seen. We did it to be done, if that makes sense. And so now that believers across the country are saying, hey, we're excited, we want to try this, we can give real-life practical truths, like some do's and don'ts, so that as our 7 years, you don't have to wait 7 years. You know, we can jumpstart you by Allah's grace so that we can all aid each other and become a resource to each other. And so, Sister Donna, if you want, if you, Sister Donna knows, if you, there's questions, you can, and then we can, you know, follow in from there.
Yes, there was one area that I wanted you to address, and thank you for the love story and the faith story first. But one of the things that you brought up on Tuesday evening that I think is important to address again was the significance of the land that we purchased, that it is useful land. And being careful not to buy land, just raw virgin land necessarily, but why it should be useful, how it should be useful.
Absolutely. You want me to answer that or you want to start? I can take it? Okay. Yes, there is a difference. And once you determine your family's purpose for acquiring the land, then that will aid you in finding the land to fit that purpose. That makes sense? Okay, so with the useful land, the devil ain't going to sell you what he wants to use, right? If it's too good to be true, that's a great possibility that it's too good to be true. And so Minister Rockman told me, he said, son, don't you buy too far outside of Atlanta because you will be in Georgia. You know, meaning that for safety and security, you want to be close as you can to the city where you can get back to the city and, of course, get back to the mosque. But if you are like us, you know, and I mean us as in black folks in 2021, and you think about how the messenger and our wants and beliefs, the demands that the messenger put on the U.S. government, we don't need land we need to start up on. We need something that's already ready that we can take over. And so these family farms are gold mines for us because the family farms that have been established for years and passed down from generation to generation to generation, well, this current generation don't want to be on the farm. They're trying to run into the city and live in the new modern caves. And so they're perfect for us to take these family farms. And in buying a family farm, there's going to be certain things that's already there, from your fencing to your well, to a power, to a home, to bonds, you know, to processes on the bonds. And I don't think we said this last week or Tuesday, but like Dr. Ava, our well, our water coming out of the ground is what, 7.4 alkaline?
I think
7.0 alkaline coming out of the ground. So we don't have to go buy a bottle of water. We just turn our faucet on and have alkaline water.
So I think this is the reason why Patrick said when you're thinking about your purpose, sometimes people don't know what the purpose, what their purpose may be until you go and tour and visit other people being a little successful or productive on their land. So like Patrick said, when we first moved here, the thought of drinking water out of a well, all I could picture was the little house on the prairie, and that was a big no-no down for my family. But I didn't realize it. Well, I mean, honestly, I'm being totally honest. Even the water I would not use, I mean, I would wash dishes and that would be it. I was still buying bottled water and everything to cook everything until one day the well went out. And when the water stopped coming, and then the plumber, I think Patrick and my son, was they pulled the pipe. And we have a pretty long driveway. How long do you think it is? To make a long story short, I think he pulled out nearly 450 feet of pipe. And that was it. When I seen that, I was like, oh, my God, let me call my cousin. They're about to tear everything up. So, I mean, we renewed when Patrick liked to fix it himself. So I started praying again. I mean, living on the farm, you become so close to Allah. So I was praying to Allah. Allah blessed us to reach out to a well plumber because there's not many that we knew of, right? So when he came out and he pulled the pipe, I think it was maybe longer than 500 feet. And at the bottom of it was this shiny stainless steel pump. And when I seen the water, I tested the water myself. I did my own test, and I asked the guys who did it, and they told me that it was just real, and not just told me, I was able to see the data and everything, that it was pure well water. I mean, it's not tampered with. It's coming straight from the earth. At that point, I felt so bad because these are the things I turned my head to. I turned not my nose, but, you know, I was trying to make sure I protected my family. Mm. So I'm so thankful to Allah because now we're drinking our own well water.
The taste is
so much different. It's so pure. And Brother Mansarakman did tell us, drink the well water.
I was thinking, maybe
not on this farm because we're in between two subdivisions, maybe not this farm. And that's what I just kept telling myself in the back of my head, maybe one day I can try it. And I'm looking at this one day I can try it and didn't realize that we had it here. So I thank Allah so many times. I'm telling you, this has really increased my faith because some things that we don't know because we're caught up in the modern life or whatever of depending on everyone to do things for us. But now that I know that our water, pure water comes from the earth itself, it's the best thing I've ever tasted in my life. And then I learned that some people sell well water. I mean, anyone that comes over and you want to drink, it's enough water for everybody. But I'm thankful to Allah because now I can say that I really had, you know, pure well water. And I'm grateful to Allah.
Okay.
But that's also
I grew up on well water.
That's also a resource. Some people bottle up well water and they sell it. So that goes back to finding land that's already productive. You can sell the well water. We have persimmon trees here. And I wasn't here. We weren't here twiddling our thumbs and trying to figure out what to do. Everywhere we looked and we noticed that something was already there, we turned it into a way that our children can make money. So we did it as an example to show them, hey, that's a persimmon tree. We studied the fruit. We learned how do you prepare the fruit, what's the fruit used for, and then we canned the fruit. We made preserves, jelly, tarts. That's just a persimmon tree. I mean, that's a persimmon tree, and we have almost seven of them.
And the fig tree.
Yeah, we have a fig tree, pear tree. So just imagine if we lived off the land by itself. There's so many things that we can do to generate income. Mm-hmm. So I try to generate that income, not because I'm needy. It's because I want to show my children that it can be done. So that's one great advantage of buying farmland that already is productive with the pecan trees, and we have black walnut trees.
Wild berries.
And there's so many. Right now we planted what do you plant?
The peach tree.
No, but what is it called? We have
the hoop house.
No, not the hoop house.
Oh, the muscadines.
Okay. Yeah, so there's so many things, and I'm thankful to Allah because when we came here, there was so much that even though the people who left probably figured that it was little, to us it became a lot because we can take these things and make money and show others what they can do if that's what you desire.
And so, Sister Donna, to finalize that answer to your question, my recommendation to families, and I'm saying families, is to buy established forms. It is not my recommendation. If the purpose is to help sustain your family and then become a resource to the broader community of believers, to buy raw land. The financial impact of buying raw land is monumental. So yes, you could go buy a 20-acre property that has timber on it if all you want to do is sell timber and never move on that land. Because after you sell that timber and you make some money, you still have money to remove all those stumps, grade that land, and put in that infrastructure. But if you find a family that's ready to move off their farm and they've had cattle or sheep or horses, it's a turnkey. You get some new sheetrock, new paint, new carpet, new lights, new refrigerator stove, toilet for sure, you know, and then you're ready to move on in. Get you some, you got eggs the next day, right? So that's just our recommendation on why we said useful land.
Thank you for that.
Beautiful.
Thank you for that.
Well, I think we better take a couple of questions. We're down to about 27 minutes. We need to spend a week on this. This is awesome.
Come on, man.
I'm just captivated. I am captivated by everything that the two of you are saying.
We have to wait for Dr. Avery to come down. We have to do it live. We can do a live to
on location. Let's
Faith
do
Farms,
it. Yes.
And then we go to, I'll go ahead and speak for guys. And then we go to Sunset Coyote, Sunset Ranch, do it. You know, hey, we get some footage. I think it'd be great.
Oh, my goodness. Did you hit strike gold with this?
Yes,
but let's get a couple of questions in. We've got Brother Daryl. He's one of our popular callers, Brother Patrick. Brother Daryl, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, family. How are you all? I was listening in.
Oh, you're doing great.
Praise be to Allah. I had a couple of questions, but first with Brother Patrick and his family. Praise be to Allah.
Yes.
For you all, I listened to you all ever since I first started hearing you talk on Sister Ava's show and how you was sister called in and says, mind her of the scripture, you know, you was getting two of everything like Noah's Ark. And now you are progressing even more. And I believe in my heart, there's no doubt that you are definitely true believers, because when you mentioned about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad making Allah smile, I believe in my heart right now as I listen to you all that Allah is smiling at you all already, because you are now teaching the children what to do. If anything happened to the father, God forbid it, but you are now keeping them focused so they could all get out there. Kind of mind with Mother Khadijah when they was doing the farm and the minister was sending for worms and he said it's popping all out. Mother Khadijah had a hand all down in the box pulling out the worms. She wasn't afraid to touch the earth, you know. So I know that Allah is smiling on you all, and may Allah continue to bless you. And I'm looking forward maybe one day for the weather break, we can come down, me and my wife, and sit and talk, because I'm sitting on 3 acres. And Allah has blessed us with 3 acres. And the first thing, it was all wooded area. I always wanted to do farming. I always used to run to the country where Brother Rasul's grandmother, Tynetta's mother lived in Belleville, Michigan. I stayed out there in the country. So Allah blessed me here in Florida with 3 acres, and I came in, cleared up the land, about 2 acres, almost 2 acres. Anyway, first thing I did is put a well in. That's your life. That well water is excellent. I've been drinking the water 20 years plus, and my niece was saying, you know, you can sell that water. You know, it's good water, you know, and everybody that come here, they take water back with them to Michigan. So that's a beautiful thing, and Allah has blessed you all. So may Allah continue to bless you all. I'm looking forward to meet you all I already feel like we are family, which we are anyway, so we follow the same God, the same man. So I thank Allah for your wisdom, and I'm looking forward to meeting you and your wife and my wife so we could get some insight from you all so I could try to going to do something with these 3 acres, because I know when I first got here the first year, I just threw some seeds in the ground just to be doing it. And as I see how Allah worked this beauty of two seeds, watermelons, and as they started growing, they come out long, like, you know, they light green. The next thing you know, they started showing stripes on it. I said, oh, look at the nature of Allah in the seed. And I'm watching this, and a cantaloupe come up the same way, you know. And then I throw some seeds in for the corn. Oh, it's beautiful. I wouldn't have no other way. We need land. We need it for ourselves. And well, you know, giving us inspiration with the land that Allah has blessed you with. I know He's smiling on you all. And may Allah continue to bless you all. I'm looking forward to see you and meet you all, and so we could come out there and stand by that tree and pray to Allah some more.
Right.
And get ourselves set up for this. But right quick, I don't want to hold mine. About the vaccine, a few of my family has taken it, but my family has got stricken, and I'm praying that we all put our prayers in since we're doing the unity fast every first Thursday. My baby sister, whole house is affected. They have the COVID. My mother's 88. She was brought down with it, and they was trying to force her to take a shot. And that's what it's a part. We have to do what we have to do to help keep preventing this from happening. You can't go in the hospital. So I'm calling from Florida every day, checking on my mother. They sticking her with all kind of needles, and the doctor said she didn't need this. She's doing pretty good at 88. She has a pacemaker. She has all this going on. He said for her age, she's doing good because she's eating the bean soup. She's doing whatever. So I'm saying, what is it that our family need to do that has been stricken with it, even though I know we're supposed to continue to eat the bean soup? But what you were talking about that you mentioned last Thursday, is it still that those that has not took the shot can still take that, what you mentioned about that the doctor that was
ivermectin,
put it out here?
The ivermectin?
Yes, yes ma'am.
Yes, and yeah, we put a number in the final call, but I'm going to reach out to you off the program. And send you another a phone number of a specific doctor,
okay.
So that he can prescribe the ivermectin. Okay.
Okay.
That's
yes, ma'am.
So, now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I told her, you know, you'll be all right. They're gonna release her tomorrow. They helped her for 2 days, and the doctor came in there and told her, "Oh, you had COVID already." She said, "That's a lie." He said, "Oh, yes, you have." And when she told him, "I'm not retarded. I'm not senile. I'm not taking your shot." And then he came back, "Oh, I made a mistake." She said, "I know you did make a mistake, but I'm not taking your shot." But see, they're trying to scare up our elderly people, hearing them and saying, "You done had COVID. You know, you done had it more than one time. You need to take this shot." So I thank Allah for my mother being strong, and I'm just kind of staying
too.
On those doctors.
I thank Allah, too. Yeah, because it's the opposite. Yes. It's the extreme opposite. I had a family member get it twice, and what happens is that the body's immune system, as we all know, is producing the antibodies. It
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean you can't contract something. What it means
mm-hmm.
is the immune system already has had a battle and won. And it is prepared to defeat it. And that's
mm-hmm.
how you can get it once and then get it again, and it can't get you, okay? And then
yeah.
there are millions of people who have contracted it, don't even know it, because the immune system
yeah.
is so effective.
Yeah,
at what the Satan is calling asymptomatic, and saying asymptomatic mm-hmm. people are dangerous. They spread the virus. Asymptomatic means that if the virus has entered you, your immune system has so decisively defeated the virus that it doesn't have the need to arouse an army, because that's what symptoms are. Symptoms are the indicators that your body is in a war. So if I'm asymptomatic, that means the thing is so weak, my body's not even concerned. So I'm not coughing. I don't have a fever. I don't have fatigue. I don't have a headache. Well, if it's that weak that it can't even deal with me and it's in me, how is it going to transmit to someone else? See, we're living in that moment that the scripture said, and Satan deceived the whole world. The manufacturers of the vaccines said from day one, you can still get infected. You can still transmit it. You can get sick, but you won't die.
Yeah.
And yes,
and that's what
it's
took
the vaccinated people that are contracting and spreading this virus. But anyway, you got me started, Brother Darryl. And we got to get a little bit more information from our brother.
Thank you, Brother Darryl. Thank you, Brother Darryl. We got time for a few more, Dr. Ava. Get them on in.
All right. Thank you. Love you all and stay safe.
Thank you, sir.
Well, we had two people holding that dropped off. I think people started thinking we weren't going to ever get to them. But
Ava, can
I wanted still go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say, as we're talking about COVID and everything, and the minister has given us those instructions about buying land. And then, as the minister was ahead and had the MGT, canning, et cetera, if we followed the instructions of buying land and the sister was canning and learning how to sew, and then we go on lockdown and you can't go anywhere, if we follow those instructions, we don't want to go nowhere anyway, because you'll have everything you need with the land and the food. You don't need to go anywhere. So you can – I think it's supposed to have 3 years, right? It's going to be hard.
Three hard.
All right. So if we had to be at home on your farmland for an extended period of time, if we follow all the instructions, it would be okay. And that's how we could survive, because we had followed his instructions.
There's no doubt about it. And you have land so you don't go stir crazy. Being
absolutely.
We know, because you said it about the cities earlier. These are the modern day caves.
Yes, ma'am.
And then with the farmland, it's enough so that more believers can come. It just should not be one family. It should be family.
Yes.
In Atlanta,
and that's
all you need. Yeah, in Atlanta, it was known that if this thing kept getting bad, we were going to set up a beachhead. The brothers with SUVs were going to park on that road. We had the tents. We already got porta potties on the property. And if it got that bad, the believers, the brothers, the whole post. You get relieved. You go sleep with your family at your tent. We burn a campfire. We say our prayers. And we're all right here. Right? But if we don't have an option like that, then they can do with us what they may. And so it's just another form of preparation.
And look at what you just described. You actually described a community. And so the effort of the enemy to isolate us, when one of the most essential requirements of life and health is contact with other human beings. We're social beings. We're made to be near and have contact with each other. This is why in prison they put you in isolation as a punitive measure, because being cut off from other people. So here's the enemy saying, don't go near your grandmother. You'll kill her. Don't go around your children. They're carriers of disease. Mm. But if we're not around the enemy in the first instance, and we're already among ourselves, then we can continue to live the life that we seek to live, which is to be with each other, the fresh air. You know, go indoors. Don't ever come out. Well, the virus doesn't transmit in fresh air outdoors. It can't. The viral particles can't cluster when there's circulating fresh air. That's why people say, open your windows. Keep your windows open. We live in these cities where we're closed in all the time. You know, as you said, they're really, I love what you said, they're really modern day caves. They emulate the way they live in Europe. But now they feel overjoyed because now their caves are tall and glass. But you notice everything they build is hard and lifeless. Like they are. So they weaken our immune system with the things they impose on us. But like you just said, I just thought it was so beautiful, a campfire at night. You know, being out there and hearing the crickets and all these sorts of things, as opposed to, you know, here in Chicago, they had a headline story recently that statistically, this is a matter of statistics, you have a higher probability, if you live in this city, of dying from gunshots. You have a higher probability you'll die as a result of being shot than you will of dying of COVID. We worry about carjackings. And these things are there is no set area. You know, there used to be a time where crime was confined to certain limited areas. It can happen anytime, anywhere, for any reason. Babies being shot in the head in the backseat of their parents' car. And so this truly is important. And you all are doing what the minister said, make your own community a safe and decent place to live.
That's right. Man, this is a powerful show, Dr. Ava, a powerful show.
Well, you know what? We can't even take any more calls. The lines are full, but I think everybody's captivated. That's why they're not asking questions. Because this screen is filled.
Oh,
it's filled.
Oh, but Dr. Ava, before we get off the call, I did want to make sure if you wanted to give out the information for those last-minute people that want to jump on the master's class, because sometimes we get down to the wire.
Yes, sir.
Just so we
have
that, we got some time.
Praise be to Allah. Well, everyone, now we are coming up on our second class in our course, master class, destruction. And this is for women only. It's a guide in the war against negative internal forces. And, you know, we learned in our self-improvement course, that revelatory course given to Minister Farrakhan, that first and foremost, out of all the things we are doing, is the process of the resurrection of the self. And that can only be done by us. No one can engage in the process of resurrection with the God for us. We have to do it ourselves, because the impediments to it are within us. And so the activation and the development of the self-accusing spirit, by developing meaning the voice of God inside, it doesn't need development, but we need to develop our ability to not only hear it, but to obey it, and not to kill it by ignoring and silencing it. But in addition to that, general divine principle is the fact that men and women have different internal forces that we have to work on. And so the Monday class, which is August 9th from 6:30 to 8:30 Eastern, the subject will be male and female, a complex interaction between mind and mind. Male and female, a complex interaction between mind and mind. That will be Monday, and you can go to MinisterAva.com to register. That will be 6:30 to 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 to 7:30 Central Time. And, of course, the course is based on the book, Weapons of Self-Destruction, a guidebook for women in the war against negative internal forces. And hearing Sister Ishtar, you get a taste of the reality of what happens when you have the FOI class and the MGT class produce two people who come together and marry. And this manifests the reality of this divine body of knowledge that we call the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There is no other body of knowledge that achieves what this does. This makes man into God. Because remember what the minister said, man is an underdeveloped God. And we've been made to think by the made race that when you reach a chronological adulthood, which in their world is 21, in our world it's 75. Remember, he said, you don't even begin to learn how to live until
That's
you're
right.
75 years old. So we got to start surviving to get to an age where we can learn how to live, because we're meant to be here for up to 1,000 years.
That's right.
Then you don't have to choose what you want to do in life. You can do it all. If you've got 1,000 years, if we could get back to 150, 200, and then each succeeding generation. And Minister Farrakhan told me once when we were working on the study course that it would take 6 generations from the coming of Master Farid Muhammad to reach that state of health where we could begin going back to that longevity. And I was calculating that using the measure generation. That's coming up. That's sometime around 2050. So we don't have much time to get to perfect health. That means we should be moving quickly, because perfect is an advance over excellent and good. And, of course, we are already in our terrible state. We're way beyond where we were when Master Farid Muhammad came and we were living off swine. But until we get out from under God's enemy, we're not going to make that progress. And that's why, as Sister Ishtar is talking about, and I think this with my daughters and my grandchildren, it's about them. And we owe it to them to allow them to avail themselves of what we're teaching. And then that prevents us from being hypocrites. And then we get rewarded too. So that I talked too long, but that was basically, I meant to just limit myself to Monday. But I would like to have our brother and sister give us some closing pearls that we can take with us. Whatever you all want to tell us, we're here. We're all ears.
I'm going to let Sister Ishtar close it out. I want to bear witness to what you just said, Dr. Ava, in that, you know, we
have been taught that we only begin to live until we're 75. Farming slows down the pace of life, and living on the farm increases the quality of life. And so when we think of farmers in our mind, naturally the picture that we have is an older person. Well, for them to have aged and still be able to function, that means they had a certain quality of life. And I just bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's personal farm, he has mentioned, has been a true blessing to him being able to sustain and extend his life. And so if that alone is not enough for all of us to desire to live in a similar setting, then cherish the life that we have been blessed to live. So I'm striving to at least get to 75.
Patrick, I'm sorry, but I just saw we just got a late call, and I think it'd be good to get a comment. I had made reference to his article earlier. We got Brother Dr. Rizzi Muhammad. He wanted to make a quick comment. I just saw him.
Yes, yes.
Assalamualaikum, Dr. Rizzi.
Walaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, Brother Patrick, he came and visited the farm a number of years ago, and he heard how I lambasted somebody talking about organic farming, and he has now been in the fire himself, and he has done a great job with his 32 acres or so small farm, and now I'm ready to learn from him about his diversified methods. And so he wants to come down here to help me out on the farm, and I want to come out there and help him out on his farm so that we can learn from each other and produce a whole new farming system. So thank you, Brother Patrick. You're an inspiration, and your wife. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Doc. You know how much we love to respect you and your wife.
We talked you up, Dr. Rizzi. I was talking about your current reading from your article earlier.
Yes, I heard.
He's got another one coming out. Yes, sir. All right. Thank you so much. Assalamualaikum.
Yeah, thank you. Walaikum salam. Thank
you. All right. Well, we're down to 2 minutes. Sister Ishtar, did you have anything?
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. I know a lot of times I'm not the one who's out in it, okay, because I love supporting Brother Patrick, and he's just who we all are successful.
Oh, praise you to God.
I can honestly say, even going out of town, even if we try to get away for a small getaway, it's nothing like being here on the farm, you know, just the vibration and the energy and the love that we feel from the animals and the spirit. It's something that I know I can bear witness to the glory of Allah in his spirit and how all the animals are calm. We don't have any animals that act irrational because I guess they can feel that energy from us. We don't beat them. You know, we feed them, care for them. We talk to them. We make sure we brush and bathe them. I mean, just the things that you could do for a regular child, just to know that this is Allah's creation. And it's all the way down to the smallest animal. But I'm so thankful to Allah for the opportunity. And my horse, Marini. A beautiful horse that one day I cannot wait to show you all. But I thank everyone for allowing us this opportunity and listening. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And that pretty much does it for us, because we're pretty much out of time, unfortunately. We have to have you to come back. And in fact, we got to do it on Zoom, because we want you to see the children and see the family out there in real time on the land. But I want to thank you both so much, Brother Patrick and Sister Ishtar Muhammad, Your Faith Farms. Brother Terrence Muhammad, my co-host, Sister Rona Muhammad, our executive producer, our legal contributor, Sister Pamela Muhammad, our project, Separation moderator on our special edition of Elevated Places each month, Sister Donna Muhammad, and all of you who have called in this evening and who are logged in on blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. May Allah bless all of us with love and the light of understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.